Brothers and sisters, in chapter 41, God used the example of the Leviathan to awaken Job. In the last session, God asked, Can you catch the Leviathan with a hook? How could a person possibly catch such a powerful, fearsome creature with a fishing hook? However, through this question, God was making Job realize that all his many words and arguments to seek and meet God were in vain, just as it is impossible to catch the Leviathan with a hook. For it's not to say that it's impossible for a person to meet God, but I'm saying that Job's way of trying to meet God, like complaining, grumbling, and criticizing God, this is not the way to meet God. And with this way, it is impossible. When Job grumbled and complained in his suffering, God did not respond. Likewise, if we respond to tests, trials, and hardship with anger, insisting on our righteousness, arguing, and quarreling, we cannot meet God. When you try to receive a solution to your problem, a big solution, if you seek God's answer, God's solution, or if you have to make a decision, then you have to make a decision when you are filled up with the Spirit. But people make a decision when they have no fullness. That's why their life may end up on the death, or they make a life difficult. We see many cases. Some people ask me which ones to choose, which path to take. And I say, you have to pray, receive the inspiration of the Spirit. When you make a decision, and you have to look at yourself, whether you are filled up with the Spirit, check your Christian life, whether you are filled up with the Spirit. If you are filled up with the Spirit, if you, especially when you change the course of your life, if you are wondering whether your choice is right or wrong, you have to ask yourself whether you are filled up with the Spirit. Like, if you want to do something else, if you want to take the another way, you may be making a wrong choice. Job was complaining against God, and God did not respond. And when the time came, Job, and through the example of Leviathan, God reminded to live a life in which we meet God and receive His answers, we have to live righteously in His sight. Even when we suffer unjustly, we have to endure sorrow, keep our trust in God, and learn contentment through trials. I also mentioned that we must have nothing to be condemned before God and press on with faith in God's unfailing truth. I pray that through today's message, where God continued to use the Leviathan as a metaphor, you will realize how you can come before God and bring down His answers. God asked in chapter 41, verse 1, can you press down His tongue with a rope? If people could tie someone's tongue with a rope during a conversation, they would be able to simply, if you can tie one's, they would be able to stop other person from speaking. But such a thing is nearly impossible, and in fact, cannot be done. Even in relationship with others, this is not, how could you tie someone else's mouth with a rope? In the same way, God was saying, Job, could the complaints you pour out with your lips bind or stop the disaster I bring? This is as foolish as trying to tie a crocodile's tongue with a rope. Here, if the rope represents Job's claim to his own righteousness, Job had insisted that he was righteous, and this is his righteousness. The crocodile's tongue signifies God's authority. In other words, Job's rope of self-righteousness couldn't dare challenge the authority of God. Then, what should we do to bind a crocodile's tongue with a rope? Namely, reach the rope of God's answers. We are to receive God's grace and love by repenting of our sins, humbling ourselves, and asking Him. This is the way to receiving answers. This is the drawing closer and closer to God's answers. It's not grumbling, complaining. It's not saying that, if you don't answer me, I will leave you. Even if you say that, God wouldn't answer you. Instead, you have to humbly lower yourself. You have to discover the reason why such trials came your way, troubles came your way. And we have to humbly discover the reason. But Job claimed that he had no fault because he only thought about his merits. He only thought about things he did good, like he feared God. There were many good things that he did. And compared to ordinary people, he did a lot of goodness. And he also tried to live by the law, live by the truth. He didn't intentionally, purposely commit evil. Compared to ordinary people, he was righteous. And that's why he couldn't discover any faults. You have to keep this in mind. God is the true light. We shouldn't insist on our being right before our God. Also, behave like God's children in our relationship with others. In order to go closer to God, we have to look at our life. If we stand upright with God, we are also upright in our relationship with others. Let's say people should look at you and say, he's different because he's a Christian. He's a good person because he loves God. Even people around you can recognize you. But if you act as you please, and then come to church and confess your love to God and work for the church, and you say that you protected the church, but in God's sight or in the eyes of others, you are not proper. But you claim yourself to be good. What use is this? Job was not righteous before God, and he didn't understand the to do so, we should act according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. For it is God who is at work in you, both to desire and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining or arguments, so that you will prove to yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as light in the world, holding firmly the word of life, so that on the day of Christ I can take pride, because I did not run in vain nor labor in vain. If you act as you please, the absolute word of God is the if you live so, you can get His answers. This means doing everything without complaining or arguing and reflecting the light and fragrance of Christ. We must not only speak the gospel, but live in blameless and innocent ways so that the worldly people would regard us as truly gracious and worthy of imitation. Then God would recognize you and compliment you. Also, we should hold firmly the word of life, which means shining the word of God into people in the darkness and leading them to the light. For example, when we shine the words like rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances into new believers or those weak in faith, we help them stay faithful and thankful and become victorious by faith, no matter the problem. Also, by shining the word pray without ceasing, we can lead them to resolve all of life's problems by praying to God. We just don't say it with words, like, novice believer is in trouble and he is worries, and we advise them to pray and we encourage them to pray so that God answer. And you can encourage them by sharing your testimonies. You can say like, when I was in trouble, when I prayed to God or offered a vow prayer, God solved my problem and God blessed me unexpectedly. I want you to do that also. Pray also. When you say like, I was also in trouble like yours, but when I think about heaven, when I think about the Lord who carried the cross for me, and I could then become joyful. I try to obey God's word like this, so all my troubles and difficulties were resolved. You can share. We can encourage that person with your own testimonies. Then another person will agree and approve. And then they obey you and they resolve your problems through you. And they agree to your... This is the shining the word of God into others. Then all our running and labor in the Lord will not be in vain, and we will have something to boast of on the day of Christ. Therefore, may you pursue love and peace without complaining and arguing in all areas, and firmly hold the word of life as God's children, thereby receiving answers to all your heart's desires. In case like this, if you can say things like, because you try to live out a word, you have no disease, you have no problems, and you continue to experience God's power. But another person, after they leave, they get medication, get sick, go to hospital. So you can compare these two, and you can know who's right or wrong. And that doesn't mean you can say, you are taking medication? I am not. No, you can just share God's power happening in our church. But if you have ill feelings, if you think that you are better than others, if you have a teaching attitude in approaching them, God cannot work for you perfectly. In your life, in your personal prayer, you have to check whether God could work through your life or your prayer. You have to think about that. In the following verse, chapter 41, verse 2, God asked, can you put a rope in his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Usually, when taming an animal, a nose ring is put in or a yoke is placed around its neck. When training a dog, we use a leash. For oxen, we put on a yoke, and fish are controlled by their gills. But God knew full well that Job couldn't pierce the nose of or jaw of a crocodile with a rope or a hook. Still, he asked this question, and Job understood well the meaning behind these words. Job, if you want to receive an answer, you need to move the heart of God, don't you? While it is difficult to pierce the nose or gills of a crocodile, a mere creature, how could you possibly pierce God with methods that are not truth? Everyone, through this story, we have to have an awakening. You don't doubt God. You believe that God answers you and resolves your problems. And you have do you have a family discord? Do you have enemies? Do you have problems that are beyond your ability? Peace has been broken, but once God intervenes, all problems can be resolved. But as you hang on to God, you have to check your attitude, whether God could listen to you or not. Sometimes, parents can cause their child to develop a wrong habit when they are young. When parents leave, there are many toys and they want to get some toy. And they go to the mart and the child wants to get this and that. And the parents answer, "You have to get only one." And the child says yes. And they pick one that is their favorite. But he wants another one. And the parents say, and sometimes, even though the parents promised that they would only buy one, the child may complain and get two things. They whine, they complain, and they beat their parents. They just throw away things. Because parents didn't control their child. Child acts that way. So some parents may give in and just do as their child asks them to do. Then the child would develop wrong habit. And the child may learn that this is a way to make their parents listen to them. But this is wrong. But other parents who educate their children the right way, once their child complains, they never give in to their child's whining and complaints. Instead, they say things like, "If you complain, I wouldn't even buy you one thing." And the child doesn't understand their parents, and they cry and yell because the parents are embarrassed in front of many people. But if parents give up and give in to their child's whining, the child would develop wrong habit. Instead, parents should sternly rebuke, and then the parents may leave, and the child may start crying. And once the parents go out of their sight, they stand up and that way the child can develop a right attitude. The God is a God of love and truth. God answers to the love and truth. If you complain, if you quarrel, if you have hatred, and then complain, "Why isn't God working for me?" How foolish this is. God was reminding Job of this through the parable of the Leviathan. In other words, God was showing Job that the method he was using to meet God was wrong. Brothers and sisters, what should we learn from this illustration? Choosing the wise method is essential in achieving any goal. If you want to go to the United States, you first need to know where it is, how far it is, which means of transportation to take, how much it will cost, and how to obtain a visa. Usually we take planes, not a ship. And we have to find out how many flights are there in a day, or how to obtain a visa, the U.S. visa. Likewise, to reach a destination, you need to learn and follow the right process. In the same way, if you desire to meet God, you have to first learn how to meet Him. We have already discussed five ways to meet God. On top of them, we can find other paths in many parts of the Bible. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 and 13, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When we cry out in prayer and seek Him with all our hearts, God makes sure to reach out to us. Also, because God dwells in light, righteousness, and goodness, as we cast off darkness, injustice, and evil, and step into the light, righteousness, and goodness, we can meet Him. Through Scripture, God tells us in detail the way to meet Him and receive His answers. He clearly shows how we can be healed and healthy, how we can receive blessings, how our workplaces or businesses can prosper, and most importantly, how we can make ourselves prosper and enter New Jerusalem. Because God's Word presents all the ways of life, we must seek answers in His Word. All of His words are truth and goodness itself. Yet, Job poured out words of untruth and responded in evil. How great his trials must have been. Therefore, we have to understand why Job had to endure such big trials and prevent ourselves from bringing such trials upon ourselves. Moreover, we must not become impatient like Job until receiving answers to our prayers. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every matter under heaven. And verse 11 tells us, He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that no one will find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. Every matter has its time and season, and only God knows all things. But we often wish our prayers would be answered right away, as if planting a seed today would make it bloom tomorrow and bear fruit the day after. Just as there's a process and order for a seed to grow, God's answers are also fulfilled in His own time. Every seed, once planted in the ground, sprouts, grows, blooms, and bears fruit at its appointed time. This requires the constant labor and patience of the farmer. Likewise, we must wait in faith and endurance until we reach our goal and receive answers. We must trust that God will answer us in the best way, at the best time, and hold on to that faith until the end. What we have to do is to take care of the seed as well. After we sow seeds, if we leave it unattended, we will not bear fruit. We have to remove weed, we have to remove insects, sometimes we need to provide fertilizer, provide water when it doesn't rain, or when there is no enough sunlight, we have to, instead of sunlight, we have to, especially during this rainy season, we don't have enough sunlight, so we can turn up our light. Also, we need wind for it to make it grow well. Sometimes we need to turn on our electric fans to make help them grow. So it requires a lot of a farmer's effort. There is the appointed time for God, and we have to trust that, and we have to show efforts. If we and I mean, as we obey the word and pray with such faith, the Holy Spirit inspires our hearts. If there is anything lacking for us to receive an answer, He reveals it to us and lets us know when the answer is near. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit, and when we obey and follow His guidance, God answers at the most beautiful and fitting time. For example, even if we are currently facing financial hardship, when we understand God's ways and will and obey accordingly, we can be blessed and help others. Contrary to our calculation, I mean, when we obey, sometimes some people may expect a fruit to fall into their mouth without doing anything. That doesn't make answers come. Sometimes you have to go up, climb up tree, and pick up fruit yourself. Sometimes you have to shake a tree to make the fruits fall from into your fall down. And the Holy Spirit inspires us to do something. But if you don't obey, if you just want abundant fruit, this is your greed. You have to know what kind of attitude you have. Also, even if we are currently ill, when we diligently gather, make confessions with joy and thanksgiving, and find things to please God and do them, He will heal us quickly. As we believe that 2,000 years ago, Jesus shed His blood on the cross and was scourged to redeem us from all sicknesses and infirmities, He makes us stronger and healthier than before. Therefore, may all of you figure out God's will and ways in all things through the work of the Holy Spirit and act wisely according to His will, thereby enjoying abundant answers and blessings. Some people say that they want to receive quickly after sowing. They're impatient. So others, even though they sow nothing, they complain about the lack of answers. But the common ground, the people who have received healing has that, I mean, people, except, they look back on themselves, repent thoroughly with tears, and pray, and then they get healed. Father God wants to give you. And in chapter 41, when we look at the parable of the Leviathan, God continued to say to Job that God speak to Job with the parable of the Leviathan. We can learn a lesson that God wants to meet us. God does not refuse to meet us. He wants to meet us anyhow, give us the answers. But why? Why his children take the another way in seeking and meet God. So God finds this regrettable, and that's why God was reminding Job of this fact. It's not that it's difficult to meet God. You may think that God is so high up there, and I am just a little mere creature, and God doesn't want to meet me. No, God wants to meet us, reached out to us. He is our loving Father. Through the chapter 41, you have to deeply understand God's heart. In the following verse, chapter 41, verse 3, God asked, "Will He make many pleas to you, or will He speak to you gentle words?" This question follows immediately after the previous verse. Can you put a rope in His nose or pierce His jaw with a hook? Namely, God meant to ask, Job, if you try to catch the crocodile with a rope or a hook, do you think it will beg for its life? Will it entreat you with soft and gentle words? The crocodile is a fierce, aggressive, an incredibly bold creature that fears no attack and stands ready to fight even at the brink of death. God was reminding Job that such a wild and powerful beast would never act submissively toward him. So then, what is God trying to teach Job through these words? In chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, Job had complained that though he was righteous and blameless, God had turned him into a mockery. Job also said that the tents of the destroyers are prosper and those who provoke God are secure. Brothers and sisters, is our God truly one who allows the wicked to prosper? In Deuteronomy chapter 28, God promised that those who diligently listen to and obey His word would prosper in all things. For those who do what is right in His sight, God assured them of His protection so that no disease can touch them and the enemy devil would not dare to come near. Throughout the entire Bible, God repeatedly emphasizes this principle. Yet, Job said the very opposite of God's word. He claimed that the wicked are blessed, while someone like himself, who is righteous, suffers instead. Job's such words show just how deeply he resented God. But this thought didn't align with the truth at all. According to Job's logic, those who provoke God should live in peace. Yet, is that really the case? Even in human relationships, when someone provokes another to anger, that relationship cannot remain peaceful. Sometimes, even church workers complain, argue, and then they insisted on listening to their demand. So, because they speak a lot of evil and then they require others to listen to them. And he complains that people are not listening to their demands. Like Job, he poured out evil words and criticized and condemned others. Then nobody would want to close to them. And in the kingdom of God, such people cannot be used for precious purposes. If you have done so, you have to thoroughly repent. And you have to know how evil you were and how evil and how... And you have to do this before God. And you also have to humble yourself before people. And then you have to speak good words, soft words, and complimenting words, encouraging words, and hopeful words, so that people would look at you and say, he's really changed. He's become gentle. He's become meek. And people would then, his past behavior, so he can be used for preciously. God would be pleased, and also people would acknowledge him. He would... But when people make complaints, when they argue and they say, even though I speak like this, you have to listen to me. This is a... Not, can you catch the Leviathan with bare hands? Can you tie the crocodile's mouth with a hook? Can you command the crocodile to shut its mouth? Or can you bind the crocodile's mouth with the rope, and the crocodile's weapon is its teeth and its mouth. So we have to block it. Then, would a crocodile obey you? After you say all these evil words and hurting words, and then complain that people are not listening to you, what's the use of it? You have to know what kind of people you have been. Check your relationship with others, relationship with friends. Some may wonder, you may say, if I always yield, if I always make concession, people would take advantage of me. But in God's kingdom, if we obey in the truth, if we make concessions and yield in the truth, God will ultimately lift you up. God wouldn't let you suffer loss. Check your attitude you have been showing. That's why we have a saying in Korea, the one who hits cannot stretch out their legs and sleep, but the one who gets hit sleeps with legs stretched. The one who has been struck may at least lie down with a clear conscience, but the one who struck cannot sleep peacefully due to guilt and unrest. Then how much less can a person who has provoked the wrath of God find peace? Yet, Job called himself righteous and spoke words that were clearly against the truth. In simple terms, he's claimed that God blesses the wicked and curses the righteous, implies that God is harsh to the weak and weak to the strong. This kind of person cowers and becomes submissive when an evil person acts in a threatening and forceful manner. But he will look down on those who are kind and gentle. Such behavior is often found in worldly and fleshly people. Job dared to describe God as such a bad one, insisting on his own righteousness. At the same time, he demanded that God answer his complaints willingly and without objection. So God asked Job, "Will he make many pleas to you, or will he speak to you gentle words?" Through this, God was showing that just as a crocodile wouldn't submit to his will, God wouldn't respond according to his thoughts or expectations. Just as Job could not command or control the crocodile, God made it clear that his thoughts were entirely different from Job's. Isaiah chapter 40, the Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Therefore, even if something seems beneficial in our own eyes, if it goes against God's word, we must never do it. Conversely, even if it is something we strongly dislike, we must obey it if it is God's will. Let's take an example from Scripture. When Moses obeyed God's command and threw down his staff, it became a serpent. God then said to Moses, "Reach out with your hand and grasp it by its tail." This is a command that could not be obeyed with man's thoughts, because desert snakes are highly venomous. A bite from one can be fatal. It's common sense that if you try to catch a snake, you have to grab its head. Grabbing the tail greatly increases the risk of being attacked. Yet, God gave Moses a command that couldn't be understood by man's thoughts, and Moses obeyed. Having gone through trials while tending the sheep for 40 years, Moses was able to obey the voice of God just as sheep follow the voice of their shepherd. As Moses believed and obeyed God's word and held the snake's tail, it turned back into a staff, one that later became an instrument through which God's power was revealed. We try to fit God according to our thoughts, and we try to receive answers according to our thoughts. We have to adjust our thoughts to God's. We shouldn't demand that God adjust Himself to our thoughts. We have to adjust ourselves to Him, to His thoughts. We have to look at ourselves according to God's standards. But people try to adjust God to themselves. And Moses, what God commanded him was beyond understanding. He was commanded to grab his tail. Let's think about the Moses situation. He threw down his staff and it turned into a serpent, into a snake, and God commands you to hold the snake's tail, you may automatically grab its head. It's not out of disobedience, but you just automatically and naturally by instinct hold its head. Even when God tells you to grab its tail, you grab its head. This is disobedience. You may say, I didn't understand His command. I just forgot. No. Because you have attributes of disobedience. You have attributes to seek your own benefits. Seek what is comfortable to you. Seek is that is more. This is manifested as the deed of disobedience. You actually didn't want to disobey, but you just because you have lived a life of disobedience, you don't. Because you have lived the way you please, you end up with a deed of disobedience. This was the case for King Saul. God commanded him to annihilate the Amalekites, but Saul took what is good among them and he gave them an excuse. He gave an excuse saying that the people requested it and he was intending to give offerings to God. He said that he wanted to boast of the things he took from the war. That's why he disobeyed. You may say that you don't have a good memory and you have misunderstood. No such excuse is needed because you have tendencies, you have attributes of disobedience, you have yourself, you have a tendency to seek your own benefits and comfort. God cannot use you. God cannot answer you. God cannot show His work through you. God searches for people who fully obeys and those who adjust themselves to God. The same was true for Apostle Paul. According to his own plans, Paul intended to preach the gospel in Asia, but the Holy Spirit stopped him and directed him instead to go to Macedonia, Europe. So Paul forsook his will, obeyed God's will, and headed to Europe. As a result, he preached the gospel and established churches in places like Philippi, Thessalonica, Athens, and Corinth. Also, near the end of his third missionary journey, Apostle Paul was made aware by the Holy Spirit that imprisonment and afflictions awaited him if he returned to Jerusalem. The disciples he met in Tyre and the prophecies told him that the same thing. The disciples he met in Tyre pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem, and prophet Agabus, whom he met in Caesarea, also prophesied that Paul would be bound by the Jews if he went there. Many people tried to deter him, and they prophesied that he would be bound, imprisoned, and mocked. Paul was reminded of that. He knew that he would be in trouble. Who would enjoy being bound with ropes, thrown into prison, beaten, and mocked in front of so many people? Yet, Paul went forward with joy and thanksgiving because he knew it was God's will. What about sometimes if you have fleshly thoughts, if you seek your own benefits, you may think, if I go to Jerusalem, I will be in trouble, I will be imprisoned, I will be suffering. And even if you receive the inspiration, then and you think like, because ultimately God wants you try to take the another way, and you people involve their fleshly thoughts like that way. They don't follow what God wants them to do. They don't fully obey what God tells them to do exactly. They took only some of His words and obey only some of His words and other words. And then they complain why God is not answering them. You have to know how fully you obeyed, whether you obey only some of His words, or Moses and Apostle Paul. Compare yourselves to Moses and Apostle Paul and think about how you have obeyed and how you were His obedience led to the spread of the gospel in Rome and the fulfillment of God's providence. This is what those who love God and place their hope in heaven are like. And this is the path that people of faith ought to walk. Next, Hosea obeyed God's command and took Gomer, a promiscuous woman, as his wife. If you look at the book of Hosea, you may think of him as such a great figure because he took that woman as a wife, and God told him to take a promiscuous woman as his wife. A prophet can never do that, but when God told him to do that, the prophet obeyed and took that promiscuous woman, and Gomer gave her to 3 children, but still she continued in her immoral ways and returned to her former life of adultery. She continued to commit adultery, and God again told him, called the prophet. He told him to pay the price and bring her back home. So the prophet paid the price to bring the wife back. If we have learned the word of God, but this does not apply to everyone. Sometimes, I mean, about what God commanded Hosea was something not understandable, but Hosea obeyed because this was God's will. Hosea did not obey reluctantly, but with joy. Through this, God revealed what it means to love and forgive. Even though they had a covenant with God, the Israelites repeatedly betrayed Him, worshipped idols, and committed sins. God continued to forgive them and show them love, demonstrating His mercy and compassion. Finally, let us look at one more example. When Joshua was commanded by God to cross the Jordan River by faith or to march around the city of Jericho, he did not rely on fleshly thoughts, his own experience, or human reasoning. Whatever it was, he obeyed the word of God with amen and yes. As a result, he crossed the river as on dry land and witnessed the mighty work of God when the strong walls of Jericho collapsed. When you perfectly obey, God's astonishing work can happen even to you today. Not just church things, but in your family affairs, things that are happening in your workplace or your health, God's amazing power can be manifested. And that can happen when you show perfect obedience to the Word. But if you obey even only some of His words and not other words, then God cannot fully intervene in your life. God cannot pour out His blessings upon you. And even like the fathers of faith, even when they were told to do something totally not understandable, they fully obeyed and joyfully. When they did, God intervened and worked for them, and God accomplished things that were beyond man's ability to do. God was breaking down Job's fleshly thoughts through trials so that Job could also become such a man of faith and obedience. The reason is, when a person is refined and transformed into a person of into a person with faith like pure gold, the blessings that follow are truly valuable and perfect. In the next verse, chapter 41, verse 4, God asked, "Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever?" In other words, Job, do you think the crocodile would make a covenant with you and become your servant to be handled as you please for life? God was teaching Job that just as the crocodile could not become his servant, God couldn't be made to act according to his thoughts. If God were to follow Job's every word, it would turn the order upside down, placing man above God. For example, if Job were to say, "God, why have you struck me like this? Answer me." And God had to respond every time with, "Job, you are right, I was wrong." Then Job would be the master and God the servant. That would lead to a conclusion that Job's thoughts were just and God's were flawed. This is something that can never be. In the next verse, chapter 41, verse 5, God questioned, "Can you play with him as with a bird or tie him down for your young girls?" This literally means, "Job, can you tame the crocodile and play with it like a bird? Can you tie it with a cord and give it to your daughters as a pet?" Namely, it was not right for Job to judge and condemn God based on his own thoughts or try to rule over God as he pleased or to sway him according to his own desires. Some of our adult members may remember catching birds and playing with them as children. Children are often fascinated by, "He has played with a bird, a little bird." And they catch the bird with a little wooden play gun, and they used some tool because they were not toys back then. They little kids play that way. Little children are often fascinated by how freely birds fly through the sky. So if given the chance, they might catch one, tie its legs with a string, let it go, and then catch it again, or even lock it inside a room. While the children may see it as nothing more than a game, imagine how distressing, exhausting, and frightening it must be from the bird's perspective. Like this, their thoughts are not the same as the bird's. While it may be enjoyable for them, it is an experience of pain, suppression, and fear to the bird. Therefore, this is evil. Through this example, God revealed that Job had tried to treat God according to his own will, just as a child plays with a bird as he pleases. Job attempted to control God according to his own thoughts and spoke, acted, and made demands to fit his own desires. We must also reflect and see whether we've had similar attitudes in our Christian life. Have we not resented God for not answering us or for allowing the wicked to prosper? This is treating God as we desire, like a person handling. You may think, why is that evil man suffer failure? Why is not God working as I thought? God should make that person fail. You want God to move as you wish. This is treating God as we desire, like a person handling a bird carelessly. So it is evil and inappropriate. When Job came to this realization, how ashamed and embarrassed he must have felt. Brothers and sisters, when Job first faced the trial of losing his possessions and children, he confessed in Job chapter 1, verse 21, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." If that confession had truly come from genuine faith, he would not have later fallen into resentment or a complaint, no matter what situation came his way. However, when the trial of painful boils came upon his whole body, it became clear before both God and his friends that his earlier confession had not come from deep spiritual understanding, but merely from his knowledge. Through this process, God was personally refining Job to become a spiritual man with faith like pure gold. In the same way, God refines us not to leave us in knowledge-based faith, but to help us grow into people of true faith, unshaken in any circumstance. As it is written in Romans chapter 11, verses 35 and 36, "Who has given to him that it will be paid back to him? For from him and through him and to him are all things." May we deeply realize that everything comes from the Lord and become believers who give thanks in all things. I pray in our Lord's name that you will always give joyfully to God with hearts full of thanksgiving, and whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, you will do it all for the glory of God.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu. Go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.